In this Geo Talk, we check out some of the upcoming mega events that are occurring locally. We open the Pandora's box that is open caching, and we ask for your 2011 geocaching resolutions. All this and more on Geo Talk. Welcome to Geo Talk for episode 67, December 2011, and it's nearly the end of the year. And is it going to get warm yet? I don't know where you are in Australia, but certainly on the East Coast and down in the South in Victoria, it has been freezing. It's certainly not typical summer weather, and certainly we've had a lot of rain over the last few months, and some areas of the country have been flooded. And a big cheerio, a big shout out to Baby and Mrs. Gopher, who I was chatting to on Skype the other night. It was before the last round of rain that had hit the area, and certainly they'd been hit hard by the floods, I think, in October. Hopefully things are going well for you and any other geocachers out there who have whose lives have been affected, whether through property loss or damage. I hope things work out for you over the next few weeks. Well, New Year nearly upon us, and that means resolutions will be made, and some of those might relate to geocaching. You might recall that at the start of the year, I set myself a resolution of trying to find a cache on every day of the year. Over my last couple of years, I've been geocaching. Now, I had 80 blank days, according to a macro that was run on Geocaching Swiss Army Knife. 80 days of geocaching I had to do. I didn't think that would be too hard. Well, we've got one more day left, the 25th of December, Christmas Day. Not sure where I'm going to squeeze that in. But out of the 80-odd that I had to do, I've missed two. So unfortunately, I didn't get to complete my New Year resolution, my geocaching resolution, but shouldn't be too hard to finish it off next year. So I've got one in February and one in October. I'd be interested to know what your geocaching resolution will be in 2011. So why not give us a call on 02-800-5436. That's 02-800-5436. Love to find out what you are planning to do next year. And if you don't want to leave any audio, then you're quite welcome just to drop us an email, geotalkpodcast@gmail.com. Get them all in the next few weeks and before mid-January, and we'll put them all into the January edition of GeoTalk. Love to find out what you've got planned. And talk about planning, there's certainly been a lot of discussion about mega events that are going to be occurring, not next year, but in 2012. Now, it kicked off a few weeks ago when Money Dork posted in the GPS New Zealand forums and then also in the Geocaching Australia forums looking for interest in a mega event to be held in 2012 down near Christchurch in the South Island of New Zealand. Now, he certainly got quite a bit of support, but while that was happening, all of a sudden, out of the blue, a group from down in Southeast Australia announced that they'll be planning or holding a mega event in Easter of 2012 down in Gundagai and Tumbarumba. Now, it's an interesting setup because it's going to be in two towns that are about 100 kilometres apart, and the plan is to start the event in Gundagai and then move to Tumbarumba after 2 days and spend the final 2 days down there. Now, there's been a lot of discussion, and I use that term lightly, in the Geocaching Australia forums about this. There are some people who say they won't go, and they're given various reasons for that. And some people who are going but have raised some concerns. Certainly the committee is taking an interest in it, and they'll be sorting through a lot of that feedback over the next few weeks. Hopefully in the not-too-distant future, we might speak to the committee, the organising committee of the Second Australian mega event, to find out how their plans are going, where things are heading, and maybe answer some of the questions that you guys might have. And hopefully we might also speak to Money Dork in the not too distant future as well, because even though they haven't progressed as far with their plans, it looks like that they might be doing this later in the year. Anyway, we'll get some more information about that from Radio Nut 50 about what's happening over in NZ. Now, a few weeks ago, I got an email from P. Press, who's in Port Macquarie on the mid-north coast of New South Wales. He mentioned that there is a way of being able to get open street maps for your Magellan devices. Now, I've played around with the Magellan GC unit, the Explorers GC, fantastic little unit. I checked out P. Press's 610, which is sort of a bigger brother. Beautiful unit, great form factor. Certainly looks like for those people who have used Magellan in the past, they'll certainly keep them there. And there might be some people who are wavering away from Garmin who might be attracted to this unit. And I know that being able to use OpenStreetMaps would certainly be a bonus in my camp. And You can check out the instructions. I'll put a link to them from the GeoTalk podcast website. That's at geotalkpodcast.com. And you can find out how you can put in OpenStreetMaps into your Magellan unit. Now, recently, a group of geocachers headed off to the Barrington Tops area of New South Wales to check out one of the oldest caches in Australia. It happens to be the fourth oldest cache, actually, called Frying Pan, and it was placed just over 10 years ago, I think in November 2000. And they've put together a little YouTube video as they headed to it, and you'll get quite a surprise when you see the cache at the end. It is certainly in the traditional style when it was back at the GPS stash hunt. So check out that video. I'll give you a link to that one also from the website at geotalkpodcast.com. Well, one of the supporters of the podcast this year has been geostuff.com.au, and I'm a Pom, who looks after that store, has given us a call. He's not calling from Melbourne. We better check out where he's calling from.
Hi, everyone. This is I Am a Pom, or Carl, from Northcote in Victoria. I'm currently in Ash Springs in Nevada in the US, about to attempt GC2551A, ET001, which is the start of the 1,021 caches along the extraterrestrial highway through Nevada. I'm not going to do the 1,021. I've just not left myself enough time, and it's just me. Although I met a team yesterday who may well be doing that today, but I'll see if I bump into them. I suspect they've gone earlier than me. Wish me luck. I'll call you back.
Well, thanks for that call, Carl. We'll check in with you a little bit later to see how you're going on that power run. How many will he get? As I've mentioned in previous podcasts, if you contribute to the show in any way, whether it be via email or through a phone call, I'll send out a path tag, a GeoTalk path tag out in the mail to you. Unfortunately, I've run out of them. Well, maybe fortunately, because that means I've had lots of contributors. And a new order is on the way. They've been shipped out and they should be arriving soon. So if you have contributed and you've dropped me an email with your postal address and haven't received it, it should be coming very soon. And don't forget, as I said, if you contribute to the podcast, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your voice more than anything. Then drop us your postal address as well. And if it gets played, then we'll send out a path tag in the mail. And one last thing in the news. You might have noticed if you go to the GeoTalk podcast website, there is now a little PayPal donate button. Now, I've been doing this podcast for about 5 years, or nearly 5 years, and you know there are certain costs that I have to put forward to it, such as web hosting and putting together little bits and pieces and giveaways and so forth. And I have had a few people over the past few years ask if they can contribute to the podcast. Now, not so much putting out a call to say that I need the money to keep the podcast going. Certainly not the case. I'm happy to do this out of the goodness of my heart. But if you feel like you want to contribute to the podcast, feel free to go to the website and click on the donate button, which is on the right-hand side of the website. And it's up to you how much you want to contribute. Doesn't matter what you put in there. Any donation is appreciated. And if you'd like, we'll give you a shout-out on the podcast as well. Well, it's time now to head across the ditch over to New Zealand and check in with Radio Nut 50 to find out what's happening over there.
Yeah, hi everyone from Hamilton in New Zealand. Where it's really now truly summer, it's hot and sunny with long daylight hours, so it's excellent weather for getting out there geocaching. Well, chirping is here. As mentioned a couple of episodes ago, I saw the Garmin Chirp appear in the forums and thought that might be a fun way to add another hide to my list of technology caches here in Hamilton. So now I have a hide called Caching in the Tron, which is the local slang for our city. After a bit of a false start, including finding out that you must disable the scanning for other wireless devices on your GPS, or chirp contact will be intermittent, this was a fun cache to set up. In its short life, this seems to have been enjoyed by many finders. As a mechanism to allow those without the key Garmin model of GPS receiver to still be able to find the hide, I included some geometry clues in the hints, copying this idea from another South Island chirp cache. And I found around about half the finders are not actually using the chirp functions. A quick scan of my GSAK database finds that there are 4 chirp cases in New Zealand at the moment, 2 in the North Island and 2 in the South. So if you have a chirp-capable GPS, have a look out for a listing. You may enjoy yourself. The way I first found out about this GeoTalk podcast was finding a CD someone had burned sitting in a cache as a swap item. Well, for some time I've been thinking of returning that favour and popping CDs of recent episodes into caches with an appropriate web reference on the disc cover. Now, related to this thought is the fact that recently we upgraded our in-car GPS from a Nuvi 760 to a Nuvi 3670, which has far better graphics, a faster calculate time and a few other features, but unfortunately for some reason Garmin chose to drop a feature from the Nuvi series that we really enjoyed, the MP3 player. In the past, we would copy the downloaded MP3 file of each episode of GeoTalk, install it on the Nuvi, and use the inbuilt FM transmitter to play the podcast through our radio when we're on a caching trip. Always a great way to get into the theme. So now, without an in-car MP3 player, I've changed to burning audio CDs of each episode. I can get 2 episodes per CD and playing them in the car stereo while on caching trips, then dropping them into a cache as a swap for the next person to learn about the podcast. The unfortunate point, though, of this message is that I currently have a small collection of CDs in my car waiting to drop, as we're struggling to find caches with the space for a CD. Now, I know that old caches are all lamenting the spread of micros, but the problem seems to be wider than that. The average boxed cache, while bigger than a micro, seems to be a 200 or 400 mil click-clack, far too small for anything but very small swaps. Influencing this is the fact that many new cachers would never have seen anything bigger than a 400 mil cache. If they see a 1 litre, they say, wow, what a big cache. So come on and let's get out there and hide some boxes. You know, ammo cans only cost about $15 to maybe $20 here in New Zealand, and they're fantastic cache boxes. Otherwise, 2 or 4 litre systemas make great hides. If you're hiding anything in a garden or under a bush, surely it can conceal a box bigger than 400 mil. Let's leave those film canisters and eclipse tins for those exciting inner city Muggle Central hides. Okay, that's enough of this rant for now, I'm sure. But don't forget, how about running off a copy of this GeoTalk onto a CD and hiding it in a cache near you? People may learn 1 or 2 things about geocaching from it. Now, blank CDs only cost about 50 cents. A recent addition to the New Zealand GPS Society webpage is a Placed Club. This complements the 100-plus Finders Club very well, and it lists all caches have hidden 50 or more caches here in New Zealand. There'll be a link for this on the show notes page. A feature of the listing is that top entry, our prolific cacher Bitsprayer. He's hidden no less than 720 caches, more than double the next entry's total. With this statistic, I must say that although we have only found about 85 of these caches, they are all interesting locations, featuring a good reason for a geocache. No multiple lengthy power trails here. Well done, Robert. What a fantastic effort. Now, postings appeared on the gps.org.nz forums and also on the Geocaching Australia forums, proposing a mega event in New Zealand in Easter 2012. If you'd be at all interested in attending such a gathering, have a look at one of these forums and tick one of the options so your view can be gauged among the others. Well, we listed all of the New Zealand Christmas season events caches last GeoTalk, but we do have some post-Christmas events showing published now. One is the Cromwell Cache Catch-Up by Filkey614 on the 2nd of January in Cromwell, of course, and another is Blackberry Flats Barbecue and Campout by Kiwi Leon and Greenblatt. It's at Waiharau on the Thames coast on the 5th of February. So, all the best Christmas wishes from Butterfly Lady and Radio Nut 50 to you, and do have some fun caching during your break. Join us back for more New Zealand info next year. Cheerio.
Well, thanks for that, Alan, and particularly on the update about what's happening with the mega event. I'm sure that that information is going to update on a weekly basis. And if you want to find out more, follow the threads in Australia on the Geocaching Australia forums and in New Zealand on the GPSNZ forums over there in New Zealand. Well, it's time now for the GeoTalk trivia question, and the question for this episode is, which Australian and New Zealand geocachers have found the most Where I Go caches? So which geocachers in Australia and New Zealand have found the most Where I Go geocachers? The answer to that at the end of the podcast. Time now to have a look at some of the events that are occurring in the new year around the country. And just before we hit 2011, on the 28th of December, there will be Intervening Days 3 by Ian and Penny down in Melton in Victoria. I've been to the last two. Unfortunately, I can't get to this one. So have a great event, guys, and hope you enjoy it. And on the 31st of December is 10 Years and We're Still Mad About the Cache by Parrots and the Mad Cat over in South Australia. On the 1st of January, New Year's Day, is the 1111111, I've lost count, it's a lot of ones, event that's being held by the Riverina Geocaching Group over in South Australia. And there's the Go and Do 1/1/11 at 11.11am to 1:11pm by Jardri, also over in South Australia. On the 2nd of January, the Wallinators Visit in South Australia by Wallinators in South Australia. And on the 3rd of January, the Cape Patterson New Year's Party by P. Prass down in Victoria. On the 4th of January, Zalgariath's Off to Europe event being held in Sydney. And on the 8th of January, Rabideau's 50th by Rabideau down in Victoria, down in Melbourne. So there's some events that are occurring around the country. Don't forget to check it out by going to the Geocaching Australia website and checking out the dashboard there for events occurring around Australia. It's time now to look into the GeoTalk mailbag, and just the one email for this episode, and it's from Brian Fluffyfish, obviously getting in early with his geocaching resolution. He says his ultimate dream would be to be going caching in the US with so many caches to find. He'd certainly enjoy it, but he says a more realistic goal is to find his 300th cache. His caching anniversary is the 2nd of January, first DNF of many, according to him, on that day. He's currently sitting on 278 at the moment, and he's aiming for 300 by Christmas, so it looks like he's probably going to get that before the new year. But anyway, good luck with it, and hopefully you will, and we look forward to what your caching resolution might be for next year. He says, great podcast and keep up the great work. Thanks very much for that, Brian. Don't forget to drop us a postal your postal address, and we'll send out a path tag in the not-too-distant future. All right, well, let's get back to I'm a Pom, who's over in the US, and see how he went with that power trail.
Hi, Spindot Bob. It's Carl. I am the Pom, phoning back after my massive caching day in Nevada. I've totaled, I think, 105 caches for the day. I've done all the caches numbered 1 through 100 of the extraterrestrial highway. Caches, and they're very interesting. And a few of the other ones. Met a couple of caches along the way, and I'll be sending you some photos. I certainly broke my previous record, which was 29 caches in a day, so it's been a huge day. I'm very tired now. Thanks. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Hi, Darren, the organist here from New Zealand. Just a bit of a call, bit of a funny situation. I happened to be hiking up to a waterfall with a school group today, and I thought to myself, oh, this would be a great place for a cache. In fact, I even found a really good place for a cache, and guess what? There was a cache there. So I vlogged my find with no description, no GPS, and there we are, first time I've ever done that.
Well, congratulations, organist. That's certainly an unusual find, particularly when you're not searching for a geocache. Not sure it's happened to me, but if it's happened to anyone else, why not give us a call on the GeoTalk hotline or drop us an email and let us know if you've accidentally stumbled upon a geocache. We've got one more final call, and that comes from our regular Darth Trader.
Hello, GeoTalk. Just let that truck go past. It's Darth Trader calling in. I've been watching this whole open caching saga unfold, and I noticed there's an open case that got listed by the spin doctors in Parramatta just this week. And as it turns out, I happen to be in Parramatta tonight and only 100 metres away from it. So I've been out to a rock and roll concert and just going back to the motel. So it turns out to be 10 to midnight on a Friday night. So we took a bit of finding to find this particular case. Didn't realise this was a garden that had all been renovated because it's all pretty overgrown now, but got the cache. Was hassled by a muggle. She happened to be drunk. So I did a trade and gave her a little blue elephant, and I put in a little Lego man, and she's got the elephant, and she'll wake up in the morning with a little blue elephant and got a clue, but she'll remember geocaching and a little blue elephant. So now, I noticed this is also a geocaching.com cache. So I am leaving a trackable item in it. So obviously I'm going to have to log this through geocaching.com. The opencaching.com is going to be useless to me because I can't do trackables. But I've also blessed this cache with a path tag. Happy with the cache. Took a bit of finding, like I said. And now it's midnight and I've still got to find my way back home through past the drunks and the hip-hopping in the cars driving by. Thank you for your podcast. And Darth Trader enjoyed a spin doctor's cache. By the way, I hope you enjoyed your holiday in Fiji and hope you bought me something nice. Thank you. Bye.
Well, thanks very much for that, Darth Trader. And you've certainly picked up on something that I was experimenting with and something I was actually quite shocked with. Because when I started playing with open caching, I noticed that they allow you to import GPX files of caches that you already own. And I thought, well, I'll try it out because it's a similar sort of function that Geocaching Australia allows you to do. But unlike Geocaching Australia, instead of just sort of creating a bare bones listing and then providing a link to Groundspeak's listing, what the open caching website actually did was strip out the GC from the front of the code and then put an OX in the front and allow people who have now found it to log a find on either the OX website or the GC website. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't feel very easy about that, and it kind of doesn't give a nice straight history of that cache. So in the near future, I'm actually going to be removing that from the open caching website because I don't think it's in the true spirit of the game, and maybe hide one out just to see how much traffic it does get. But certainly there's been a lot of controversy in different forums, on blogs, all around the place about whether or not creating its own listing site is a good thing or not. Personally, I think that more websites is good, more listing sites is good. It opens up creativity, it opens up competition, and we're already seeing that whether it's forced the hand or not, Groundspeak are certainly introducing a lot of new changes in 2011, which we'll touch in on next episode. But there have been some things that are just don't quite feel right. And I think, as most people have said, the use of the open caching name for a start is something that's touched a raw nerve with a lot of geocaches. And I think also that one I mentioned there about sort of replicating caches but then not mirroring what's going on some of the other websites is quite a quirky little thing. They say that things will be refined and things will be changed, and they're open to the community. So we'll see what happens over the next 12 months, year, 2 years, see how it goes. But look, if you want to find out more about open caching, there's an excellent interview on the Geocaching Podcast, episode 183. So go to geocachingpodcast.com and check that out. I'll give you a link from the show notes from the GeoTalk website. Also, Sunny does an interview with Garmin about it too, in episode 299 of Podcacher. But check out those interviews, 183. Episode 183 of Geocaching Podcast and episode 299 of Podcacher. If you've got your own thoughts and comments on it, drop us an email. I'd love to hear what you think about this open caching concept, whether you send us an email to geotalkpodcast.com or ring it in on 02-800-5436. that just about brings us to the end of the show. And before we go, we better give you the answer to the trivia question. And that was, which Australian and New Zealand geocachers have found the most Where I Go caches? Now, in Australia, the person on the top of the leaderboard is Steba in New South Wales with 10, Acholio with 8, and Team Rubik from Victoria with 7. And in New Zealand, it's a similar scorecard. It's UGO4 with 10, Butterfly Lady, and Tramper Ted with 8 each. Of course, Butterfly Lady is the other half of Radio Nut 50. So hello once again to you guys over there in Hamilton. Well, that's all for this episode of Geo Talk. Until next time, have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we'll catch you all in 2011. And hopefully we'll hear lots of your geocaching resolutions for next year. Until next time, safe geocaching.